Before heading down to the Beis Medrash, before we left off with two hanging questions. The first is, why is it that we're fasting on Tzom Gedalia more than on so many other potential days? I saw the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yichas. It has not yet satisfied our problem. Ulamedcha Sheshkulas Misa Sadiq and Kesef is basically okay. As to why uniquely Gedalia as opposed to so many other hundreds of thousands, millions of Sadiqim. And we headed down to spend some time working through a couple of prakim in Yahu, a little bit of background, a little bit of context. And then the other larger question, in terms of the avoda of today, language that the Rambam uses both in prakim Aleph and Hey of Tanis. Both in Perak Aleph, where he speaks about Tanis in general, as well as Perak Hey, where he discusses specifically the Tanis of Churban. But we looked at the language of the Rambam in Perak Aleph. Both he talks about the fact that Tanis is not really a day to not eat. Tanis is meant to... Tanis is a tool to help us get somewhere. Tanis is a tool to sharpen our awareness, to sharpen our davening, to sharpen our za'aka, and to sharpen our awareness to the fact that there's a schar v'onesh relationship, and certainly on the klal level, klal Yisrael does chataim, that can result in historical onesh. But we had seen a strange word in Rambam. In Parak Aleph, Lo Yizeku V'Lo Yariyu. Klal Yisrael doesn't respond to Tzara with Za'aka, with Teruah, with Tzom, but rather we say David Minagol Meir Lanu. Pure chance, luck of the draw. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Tzara Zu Nikra Nikris. Mere stochastic chance. There's no relationship. There's no meaning. It just is what it is. Rachmal Etzlan. Rachmal Etzlan to say less din v'less dayin. HaKadosh Baruch is not running history, and it just stuff just happens. So Rambam said we would have expected Rambam to say Rezu Derech Minus, fucking curses, the lack of Amuna. Rambam says Rezu Derech Achzarius. It's cruel. It's cruel. The Goremus Lemli Davik Masay Maran. It will cause us to continue to stick to the inappropriate path of behavior that we're on. We don't recognize the relationship between how we act and what happens. So we're not incentivized to do tshuva. The Tosef Hatzara Tzara Sacheris. Rachman Etzlan, if Klal Yisrael sticks to a path of chet, we're going to multiply the number of tzaras to come our way. So how is this achzaris? So one could say it's cruel because we're causing more tragedy to come our way. It's an awkward phrasing. A number of years ago, I saw Twersky, and he suggested that maybe we often translate achzarius as cruelty, but maybe what achzarius is more literally, yeah, what would you say?
Isn't it cruel to say, like, if there's all these people are dying, all this tragedy is happening, for you to say that there's no significance to it, it's just random, you know, you're basically saying, like, it's not worth anything. Isn't that cruel to, like, all the people who suffer?
Eitan is saying something profound. Eitan is saying, if I look at the world without an eye towards, without an eye of Amuna, so I drain people of their meaning, and I drain tragedy of its meaning. To look at the world with an atheistic eye is to drain people of meaning. Everyone is just random chance. You're just a carbon speck. They happen to end up some spot in the universe. So no one really means anything. To the honest atheist, nothing really matters. And nothing really is of significance. But they say that itself is cruel. And I'm not going to take people's tragedy seriously because this person's whole life was random chance. It comes and goes. Yeah. That's a profound point. To be authentic for can be authentic, Rachmanel, it's not about one's atheism, it's going to lead a person down the path of devaluing everyone and everything. And that will lead to a profound type of cruelty. That's a very good point. And let me translate that a little bit. I think what you're saying melds well with dovetails well. Rabbi Trotsky mentioned to me that he thought the word achzarias, we use it to mean cruelty, but at its core it means insensitivity. You lack sensitivity. So often insensitivity is expressed as cruelty. I'm insensitive to someone else's feelings. I'm insensitive to someone else's pain. I lack any empathy, so that is expressed as cruelty. Maybe here you mean more generally. I'm insensitive. I lack a sense of meaning. Nothing means anything. What you're saying is a spiritual, theological insensitivity is also going to lead to devaluing people. So that the avoda, in that case, of a tanis, is to become sensitive in both senses. As the avodah of a tanya is to realize that things matter, that our life matters. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and create us with purpose. Our lives matter. Our lives have the potential for meaning. Our decisions matter. Rachman al son, we make bad decisions that has impact. Rit Hashem, we make good decisions. Mida tova meruba, mikvud sfranis. All the more so that will have a positive impact. The things we do matter. Our lives matter. Other people's lives matter. And as Eitan was saying, it leads me to be more sensitive to the suffering of other people when I recognize that people are tamilkin. And it leads me to be more sensitive to the impact of my actions. My life is not just here today, gone tomorrow. My actions matter. My life matters. My actions matter. And that's supposed to be the goal, the avodah of the tanis, is to become a more sensitive person, to become a more elevated person, become a more plugged-in person. We're going to realize that the thing that my life matters, the people around me matter, and the actions that I take and the decisions that I make, using my bechir chafshis, that matters. I have to make good decisions. The decisions that I make have impact. So if that's the avodah of the tanis in general, then I may be ready to come back to the first point. So what's the assessment? So every Tanis is an opportunity to build myself every day, but a Tanis in particular, to become more sensitized, to open my eyes spiritually and recognize that I matter and that my decisions matter, and to take my decisions more seriously. Decisions in which area of life? So it's true in every area of life. But Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tarig Mitzvahs. Tarig mitzvahs, I think Sefer Chinuch points out one place. Tarig mitzvahs, you know, span the scope of human reality. The mitzvahs about food, their mitzvahs about clothing, their mitzvahs about interpersonal relations, their mitzvahs about every part of the human condition. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us opportunity through the totality of Tarig mitzvahs to reshape every part of who I am and what I am as a human being. Okay, so b'chol. The time is a chance to become more sensitive to the bechira chafshis and the decisions that I make for better or for worse throughout my life. It could also be that every tinus specifically, in addition to having sort of his general avoda of becoming more spiritually sensitive, it stands to reason that particular tanios will have their own specific flavor having to do with the specific theme of that particular tanus. So what's Tzom Gedalia about in particular? If the avodah of a tanis in general is to become a more spiritually aware, spiritually sensitive, spiritually self-aware person, so presumably Tzom Gedalia should particularly invest in whatever Tzom Gedalia is about. So that brings us back to question number one. So now that we understand Achzarius a little bit, we understand that this is a day of great opportunity. So specifically, what is Tzom Gedalia about? Now it's not only a kasha learning. Talking, what's pshat that we're fasting for Gedalia? Now it's a lamaisa question. So what am I supposed to focus on? So I have many hours ahead of me between now and Tzedek HaKavim. So I should be making cheshbon nefesh. I should be thinking about what. Everyone has their own profile of nisyanos. Everyone has their own profile of, you know, what's easier for me, what's harder for me. But maybe there's everyone can focus on, you know, wherever I feel like I need tikkun. Maybe there's a Tzom Gedalia particular flavor. So for that, we need to dive into the story of Gedalia to understand what it is exactly that we are fasting about. So let's take a look at the Pesukim in front of us. You had a chance to work a little bit with the Chagusa. So you saw that, again, as I said before, the curtain rises, and then the selection you have in front of you, Perek Mem Pasuk Hey, Nebuzaradan, the commanding general of the bodily forces, is in conversation with Yirmiyahu. He says, I destroyed Beis HaMikdash, is destroyed. The bulk of the remaining Jews have been sent into Galus, Babel ward. But there's a small number of Jews that Babel has decided to allow to remain here. And Yirmiyahu, you do what you want. Odena lo yashuv, shuvel gidai ben achikam. If you want to, you can go back. Nebuzaradan tells Yirmiyahu, you can go back to Gedalia. Asher hifkid melech Bavel barei Yehuda. The emperor of Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, has appointed Gedalia the Jew, Gedalia ben Achikam, as the governor of the Babylonian colony of Eretz Yehuda. The Shevi Tepas Havam, you can, there's a group with him, and you can join that community. Go wherever you want. Yirmiyahu, he says, you do what you want. Yirmiyahu joins his people. Yirmiyahu isn't interested in going to Mitzrayim. Yirmiyahu is interested in going to Kush. He wants to be with Klal Yisrael. He wants to be with the remnants of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Vav, Yirmiyahu comes to Gedalia ben Achikam. Now in Mitzpah. Mitzpah is they're no longer in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is offline. Yeah, Yerushalayim is offline for now. Melech Bavel has allowed a small number of Jews to remain as a colony. Entirely as a colony of the Babylonian Empire, they're no longer sent to Yerushalayim, they're sent to the Mitzvah. If you remember, you're saying for Shmuel, Mitzvah had great significance early in Jewish history, and now they're no longer by fiat of the Babylonian Empire. They're no longer Yerushalayim centered, they're back to being Mitzvah centered. And there is a small number of Jews that remain, a community that remains under Gedalia and Mitzvah, and Yirmiyahu joins them. And then we begin to see an inflow. Now Pasuk Zion, most of the Jewish military had been destroyed by the Babylonians, either killed in battle or taken to Galus. But there had been some Jewish soldiers that had survived because they were partisans in the field. Sarei Chayalim, the officers of the remaining soldiers who are Basadeh, the officers with their people, Heimav Ansheyem, they come back, they had heard Kihifkin Melech Babel as Gedalia Ba'aretz. They had heard that Melech Babel appointed Gedalia to be the governor. And as the Mal points out, the Kihifkiri Toa Nashim Vinashim V'taf Midalas Ha'aretz Meshel Lohu Glu Babel. And they had heard that there are men and women, children who are allowed to stay. Why is this so significant? The Malbim says they understood that things are going to be a little more stable now. Now, these were the soldiers who had been hiding in the fields, the partisans in the forests and the mountains, and they weren't coming out. They'll show their faces, they'll be killed by the Balvium. But now they realize things have settled down. Things have restabilized, there's an equilibrium. Apparently now, Melech Babel does want to have some sort of safe, stable community. I'm sorry?
They're a citizen.
Subjects of the Babylonian Empire, but at least they'll be safe. They see that Malbub has allowed families to remain with Gedalia. Okay, so now they begin to come out. And these names are very significant in Pasuk Tes. Who comes out? A whole list of names. Yishmael, who are the military officers of the former Jewish army. Yishmael ben Nesanya, Yochanan, and Yonatan, the sons of Kereach, as well as a number of other names, Saraya and so on and so forth. But keep your eye on specific Yishmael, Yochanan, and Yonasan. And when they come, there's clearly tension, and there's clearly fear, because there's clear uncertainty, because in Pasuk Tes, the first thing Gedalia does is swear to them that they're going to be safe. Obviously, they need reassurance. And Yishavalem Gedalia, he swears to the officers, he swears to the soldiers, Al Tiru Me'avod HaKastim, you no longer have to be afraid. I know you've been... It's been years of blood, of bloodshed, but now things have changed. We've turned the corner. We no longer have to be scared. You can move back. We can resume economic activity, agricultural activity. Shvu ba'aret, yivdu es ha'melech. He says, Shvu yayin, we're going to start to farm again. We're going to start to reestablish. After years of ruckus and years of mayhem, we're going to start to establish farms. We're going to start to establish homes. We're going to settle back into Eretz Yisrael. No longer Yerushalayim centered, but at least whatever we have around mitzvah, we'll have stability again. It says, and I'm your liaison, says the Pasuk Yud. If there's trouble with the other, with the Kaddim, with the Bavliim, I'm empowered by the king, by the empire, to stand up in your behalf. And then not only do apparently his Shavua is impactful. Seems like the soldiers begin to settle down. Not only that, Pasuk Yud Aleph, now Jews are coming back from much further. Pasuk Yud Aleph, and you call Yehudim Asher B'Moab. The Jews on the other side of the Arden, what we would call nowadays southern Jordan. Ammon, Moab, Edom. Jews had fled. Jews who had escaped Eretz Yisrael to avoid being killed by the Babylonians. And they were in hiding across the Arden. And they heard, now things are stable. They begin to come back to Mitzvah. Here, there's a place to be. There may be Jews who are even farther flung. Who knows? Maybe they were out in Saudi Arabia. No. Jews had run away. They're still a remnant. And then Gedalia is in charge. There's even a Jewish governor. Okay. People are settling down. And they come back. Pasuk Beis, and they begin to farm. And then Pasuk Gimel, Yochanan, and all the Sari HaChayalim Asher Basai, they come to Gedalia. Now remember, in the list we had before of officers, Yochanan was number two. It was Yishmael, Yochanan, and a whole list of officers. Now it's Yochanan and a whole list of officers. Who's missing? Number one, Yishmael. Why is he missing? Because he's the one they're talking about. Yomrei Lav, this whole group of generals, of officers, come to Yadoa Teidaki Balis Melech Bnei Amon Shalachis Yishmael Ben Yisayin Akoscha Nefesh. See, we want to tip you off. Yishmael, officer number one, he's in the pay of one of our unfriendly neighbors. Ammon, as you said, is right across the Yarden. Ammon wants to kill you. Melech HaBaalis, the king, wants to kill you. Why? For obvious reasons. Probably Ammon wanted to move in. Right? There's a vacuum. He's going to expand. But now, Gedaliah is standing in his way because Melech Babel decided... Perhaps, we don't know, maybe it was to contain Ammon. Melech Babel decided to maintain some sort of Jewish community with Jewish leadership in Eretz Israel. Ammon isn't happy about that. He wants to assassinate you. Who did he hire? The Jew Yishmael. One of the former leaders of the Jewish army. The rest of the officers tell Gedaliah, the governor, Officer Yishmael, General Yishmael, there's a price on your head. And he's been hired. He's a hitman. He's going to assassinate you. Wow, that's pretty serious. And then, we don't hear exactly what Gedaliah said, but we hear, Lo hemin lehem Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah doesn't buy it. He doesn't believe it. What happens next in Pasuk Tezvav? V'yochanan kerech amar Gedaliah v'seiser b'mitzvah. Now Yochanan is speaking to Gedaliah secretly. What just happened? So the Mepharshim explained. Malbim, the Mepharshim explained. In other words, there was a second conversation. The first time, it was a whole group. And Gedaliah said, so what's the opening of the next move? Yeah, well, I understand. Gedaliah wasn't gonna say anything publicly. I was there with 5-10 other officers. So Yochanan comes by himself. Just Yochanan and Gedaliah. They say so. Just the two of them. It says, and he says, number one, you didn't want to say anything publicly. I understand that. Now it's just me and you. Number two, maybe you can't be involved. You can't be involved. He says, you don't have to be involved. Here's my next offer. The first time was, you need to be aware, you need to watch your back. The second time was, allow me to take care of business. You're not going to be involved. El chanava akes yishmal ben asanya. V'ishlo yeda. No one has to know that we spoke about this. I'll take care of it. People will think there was some sort of rivalry between the military officers. Who's going to be in charge? And I killed him. Give me, Elchana, allow me please to do it. In other words, you're in charge. You're the leader, Gedaliah. I just want your permission. It's off the books. He says, Habala Hargah Hashkim Lahargah. This is absolutely appropriate. He wants to kill you. He wants to assassinate you. So the din is, you shoot an assassin before he kills anyone. He wants to assassinate you. I want to save you. Allow me to do this. And you worry about how it's going to play out, it'll never be traced back to you. I'll take care of it. I'll take the blame. I'll absorb it. I'm going to protect you. And Gedaliah said, and so Yochanan thought they had solved the problem. Gedaliah understands this needs to happen, but he's not going to talk about it publicly. He's not going to be associated with it. Yochanan says, I got you. I understand you. Problem is, he did not understand Gedaliah, because Gedaliah's hesitation wasn't technical or logistical or political. We can't talk about this in public. I can't be associated with it. Gedaliah's hesitation was more fundamental. Al Tasas Hadavar Azek, he sheker at Dover El Yishmael. You're lying. I don't believe you. You're lying. Why should I believe you? Why should I believe you? Tragically, Yochanan was right. Vayhi b'chodesh hashvi, Perek Mem Aleph opens. Chodesh hashvi is the month of Tishrei. Some of the Farshim Radak and others say Chodesh refers to as in Machar Chodesh. Chodesh refers not just to the month of Tishrei, but specifically Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah. Some understand this. Others understand this happening during the month of Tishrei, the third of Tishrei. But the Radak understands, probably older Machlokas, that it happened on Rosh Hashanah. Yishmael shows up for a Yontif Suda. Yishmael ben Asanya ben Elisham Vizera Melucha. It shows up with a whole bunch, Rabbi HaMelech. It shows up with a whole entourage, 10 people that come to Gedaliah Vayochel Sham Lechem Yacht VaMitzvah. Come for Yontif Suda. Yishmael and his whole crew show up to eat with Gedaliah, and Gedaliah didn't realize that he was tragically on the menu. Vayakam Yishmael ben Asan Vaseres Hashem Shohayu Ito Vayakuis Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan Becherav. They stab him in the middle of the meal. They just get up and they assassinate him on the spot. Vayames Oso Shehivkin Melech Bava Bartz. They kill the man who had been appointed as Melech Bava. And then it's like a spiral of murder. Pasuk Gimel, they wipe out this Yishmael and his group, murder every Jew who's in the town of Mitzvah. They murder all the non-Jews in the town of Mitzvah. They murder every single human being in the town of Mitzvah. A bloodbath. So much so that on Pasuk Daled, the next day, no one else knows. They destroyed all the evidence. They killed every single human being alive in the town of Mitzvah. So no one outside of Mitzvah knew that anything had happened. Because the only people alive in Mitzvah were Yishmael and his minion of murderers. So tragedy builds on tragedy. Other people show up. We had learned that things were happy. That people were coming back and people heard there's stability. And people are starting to come from far away. They're still coming. And they think that Mitzvah is going to be a haven of stability, where in fact it's a pool of blood. Now Jews are coming from the north, from what used to be Malchus Yisrael. There are people who haven't shaved, their clothing is torn, carrying karbanos. Why are they carrying karbanos with unshaven clothing torn? Because they had left home headed to bring karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Along the way, they heard there was no Beis HaMikdash left. And then along the way, they heard, but Yerushalayim has fallen, but there's Mitzvah. And they come to Mitzvah, these 80 people, the 80 Jews, refugees. They come to Mitzvah, Pasuk Vav, Yishmael comes out and says, come. Wow, what horrific, horrific irony. He says, come on in to Mitzvah. Come see Gedaliah. And they come in, Pasuk Zayin, and Yishmael is like a serial murder. Yishmael kills him also. He's killing people by the tens, by the hundreds. And if they please, people are begging for their lives. He's throwing people into mass graves. It's horrific. Nebuch, Yochanan had been out in the field with his men, and he hears that tragically, he was right. He hears that exactly what he had feared come to pass. Yochanan, remember, the second officer who had spoken to Gedaliah, would warn Gedaliah, Yishmael, I heard on good authority, Yishmael wants to kill you. And Gedaliah hadn't listened. He spoke to him again. Gedaliah didn't listen. And now Nebuch, he was very, very sad to know that he was right. And that's why the Pasuk Gedaliah, Yochanan here is developed. And it was even worse than he had imagined. Gedaliah did Yishmael come and he succeed in killing Gedaliah? He killed hundreds, the whole town of Mitzvah is just a pool of blood and bodies. Come on, it's on. And now they find him, and Yochanan attacks Yishmael. Yishmael escapes. And now at the end, now they're leaderless. So Yochanan steps into the position of leadership of whichever Jews were in Mitzvah, whichever Jews are still around in the area or alive. And then if it can even get worse, it does. In Pasuk Perek Mem Beis, at the end of Perek Mem Aleph, they're thinking of going down to Mitzrayim. Perek Mem Beis, they speak to Yirmiyahu, they say, Yirmiyahu, we need God, we're lost. Well, where do we go? What do we do? And Yirmiyahu says, this is heavy. We need to daven. Let me see if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me nevuah. And Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Miketa Saras Yavim, after 10 days of davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nevuah to Yirmiyahu. Nevuah is, tell Yochanan, don't go. Stay here. Don't go to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman HaZen, you here. And Perek Mem Gimel, they don't even believe Yirmiyahu anymore. They say, Yirmiyahu, it's you're corrupted also, they tell Yirmiyahu. It's your Talmud, Yirmiyahu's Talmud movement with Baruch Ben Arya. Baruch is in the pay. They have this whole conspiracy theory that Yirmiyahu's Talmud Baruch is being paid off by the Bavlin, and that's why you want to keep us here. And they ignore the tivoy of Yirmiyahu. They go down to Mitzrayim anyways. Wow. Everything fell apart in every way possible. Physically, human life has been massacred by the hundreds, by the thousands. Politically, that's the end of an organized Jewish community. Spiritually, the Jews who are left, they even lost their emunah in Yirmiyahu. They have a cynical perspective of Yirmiyahu. What happened? Let's try to understand. So this is a horrific story. And this is a story that we're trying to be misake. In other words, presumably if you can identify the chatoim that are driving this, obviously it was murder of the worst sort. There are also more subtle things. Tzom Gedaliah is not just a day to do tshuva, to give up homicide. Rachmanel's son is the person who was murdered. He obviously did tshuva. But for the rest of us, there are more subtle pieces of the story that are relevant. What drove Yishmael?
Jealousy.
Yeah. What tells you there's jealousy?
He was a member of Feist, but he feels like he should have been killed.
Very good. How do you see that in Pesukim?
I just remember the story.
Ah, okay. When Yishmael arrives, dressed to kill, Yishmael arrives at a Rosh Hashanah Suda with his crew, his retinue. Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama, this is very formal. He wasn't referred to this way in the past. Grandfather's name? Mizera Hamalucha. All of a sudden we're told that he is descended from Malach Beis David. V'Rabbei HaMelech, V'Asar HaShem Itam. And he has other royal retinue with him. It's hard to miss the stress, and the Farshim point out. when he shows up to kill Achmal Atzlan, to murder Gedalia, it's because there's a jilted sense of entitlement. This should have been me. If Tzidkia was deposed by Nebuchadnezzar, I'm next in line. Sounds like Korach all over again, right? Ah! Amizera Mulucha. What they appointed, the commoner Gedalia, it should have been me. And it's jealousy run amok. And it's so irrational, besides the fact that to do the most horrific chet, mass murder. Even in a twisted murderer's mind, he didn't even accomplish the twisted goal that he wanted of being in charge. He actually destroyed anyone who could have been his subject. He was so consumed by envy, he didn't even want the thing, so to speak, that someone else had that he should have had. He just wanted to, if I can't have it, you're not going to have it either. He killed Gedalia, he destroyed the whole community that he thought he should have been in charge of. It's such a, again, in the most extreme sense, Baruch Hashem, in our lives it's not so extreme. But there's on far, far, far more mild ways that dynamic sometimes plays out. When jealousy and envy take over so much that we end up doing irrational things that don't even help us get the thing that we want. Reuven has X and I want to have X. Sometimes the envy fills us with such an irrational rage that we just want to destroy. And there's another layer, which is thinking about not just jealousy, but thinking about where your actions will lead. Take a look back at Pasuk Tazvav. Perek Mem Pasuk Tazav. Yochanan had said to, and Yochanan speaks to Gedalia the second time. He says, "Allow me to save your life. Lama yakha nefesh. Why should you allow Yishmael to run free? He's going to murder you, Gedalia. V'nafotzu kol Yehuda hanikibatzimei lecha. And all the Jews who have gathered back to you will be scattered. The avda she'eris Yehuda. And the remnant of Malchus Yehuda will be gone." And tragically, he was right. Not only was Gedalia killed, but the whole entity of Yehuda was gone. All the people were either murdered or scattered. And Yochanan himself, ironically, ends up being the vector that brings them to whoever survives down to Mitzrayim. So, and you look back at the Rambam now. Gemara said, "Lamecha sheshkula miyisasa shal tzadikim kisrei fes beis el okeinu." How does the Rambam translate that? Hilchas Tanya's Parakei, Halacha Beis. Yom shlishi b'tishrei shavu nera Gedalia ben Achikam. Today is the day that Gedalia was murdered. He does say murder, not just... the Gemara said murder. Right? The Gemara said nera Gedalia ben Achikam. Rambam says nera Gedalia ben Achikam. And how does he translate the rest of the Gemara? Yishmael killed him and Shkula Misas and Shosadim Kajay's Beis Lakenu. How's Rambam translate Mishnah Torah? Hill the Tanis Parakel of Habez, the Nichabez Gacheles Yisrael. The coal of the Jewish people was extinguished. Gacheles Yisrael and Ish Eras. How many people here have ever run a campfire? Ever grilled over coals? Okay, a hearty few. So you know that one of the things you got to do when you're done is make sure the coals are out. Right? Because sometimes you have to actually make sure the coals are cool. Because sometimes, mostly out, but there could still be one or two embers are hot, one or two coals are hot, and that could potentially relight a whole fire. And that's the image of the Ram is translated with the Gemara saying, into that metaphor. There was still a glowing coal. The overall country of Malchus Yehuda was gone. The Samikdash was gone. The vast majority of the people were gone, either killed or sent to the gulf. But there was something left. A gacheles is something that could restart a fire. There was a small bit left that could have restarted, relit a kehillah. And this extinguished it. The sibeh, a key word, lahasem galusan. And that caused the gulfs to be tam, to be complete. It caused it to be a total galus. It wasn't until this point a total galus. It was a mostly in galus. There was a little bit of still of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam is implying they could have built back from that. Okay, the Rambam seems to be saying, means not just the death of every tzaddik is a tragedy, it is. It sounds like he means the death of this tzaddik and this Jewish leader in particular, it wasn't only that Gedaliah was killed, but as Yochanan had said to Gedaliah the end of Perek Mem, your death will mean not only your death, it will mean the death of the Jewish community. Notice what's going to happen. The word Sibi, you've used that in the past, Simon and Siba. Notice what it caused. It's a second element of Avoda for Tzom Gedaliah in particular. If the first element is an element of thinking about Tikkun HaMidos in general and of envy and irrational Ka'as in particular, maybe the second element is to become more of a Roa Es Hanola, to cultivate my sense that when I'm making a decision, don't just think of what's in front of your nose. I could do A or B, and what's going to happen if I do A, and what's going to happen if I do B. Don't just think about the here and now. Is that Chacham Roa Es Hanola? When you're making decisions, ask yourself, how are things going to play out? Which is what Yochanan was trying to get Gedaliah to do. And this brings us to the third piece. This is a very strange pasuk that we had alighted over before. It skipped over before. Pasuk Perek Mem Aleph, pasuk Tes. In the midst of the mayhem, the murderous mayhem, Yishmael is killing and killing and killing, and more Jews come to Mitzvah, he kills them, Achmal is done. And then there's a reference to a pit, Kever Achim, the mass grave. The Habor Shehishlich Shem Yishmael is called Pikriyat Nashim. It was a pit where into which Yishmael had thrown all the corpses. All the corpses who had been killed by Yishmael. So that's not what the pasuk says. Take a look at what the pasuk says. Perek Mem Aleph pasuk Tes. Mem Aleph Tes. Bor Sheir Shlich Shem Yishmael. It's called Pigriyat Nashim. Yishmael had thrown there all of the corpses. People who had Asher Hikar B'Yad Gidal Yahu. People who have been murdered by? Gedaliah didn't kill anyone. Gedaliah's mistake was that he was too unwilling to take up arms even in self-defense. Gedaliah didn't kill anyone. Who asked that question? Rav asked that question. Take a look at Maseches Nidah Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, the bottom of the page. Avor Sheshlich Shem Yishmael Kol Pirgei Anashim Shehiga B'Gedaliah Gedaliah V'Chi Gedaliah HaRadam Frek the Gemara. Gedaliah didn't kill them. Yishmael HaRadam Ella Mitok Shayel Lachush V'Atzas Yochanan Ben Kereyach V'Lachash. He should have listened. He should have been choshesh, more precisely. Should have been concerned for the advice of Yochanan. Belochash, he wasn't concerned. Ale alav akasov kiyu haragam. It's as though Gedaliah killed them. Gedaliah was a pacifist. But Gedaliah bears responsibility for the death of all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people because he could have done something bad. Because someone told him something and he ignored it. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hi Lishna Bisha, Lishna Bish, Bish, your chin is Aramaic for Ra. So Lishna Bisha is? Lishna Bisha, translate it. If Bish is Ra, Lishna Bisha is, in Hebrew, Lashon Hara, exactly. Hi Lishna Bisha, this Lashon Hara, Afa Pidula Kabule Nimiboy, Mechesh Lemiboy. You can't accept Mikabo Lashon Hara, you have to be Choshesh Lashon Hara. What does that mean? So Rav is saying, you can't be Mikabo Lashon Hara means, look, when people tell you Lashon Hara, sometimes it's true. It is sometimes true. People sometimes do bad things, and other people might tell you. Shimon might tell you that Reuben did a bad thing, or that Reuben wants to do a bad thing. That might be true. There are Reubens out there who do bad things. Everyone does bad things sometimes. So it's not that all Lashon Hara is false. It's play of Lashon Hara. It's
true. Lashon Hara that it's
exactly. If it's Lashon Hara which is false, you call it specifically Motzi Shema. Right? There's plenty of Lashon Hara which is true. unfortunately, there are bad things in the world, and there are people who do bad things. Bad people do bad things, and good people do bad things. People do bad things. But play Lashnar, which is true. So, Bechlal, what do you mean? I'm not supposed to Makabal Lashnar. So it's to just suspend my head, suspend rational thought, and assume that the all Lashnar is automatically false. No, Rava says. Don't be Makabal, but do be Choshesh. Meaning, don't assume that for sure what someone's telling you is true. The Isser of Kabbalah's Lashnar is not to be irrational. Adrava, it's actually to be very rational and discerning. It's Yochanan comes and tells you that Yishmael has murderous intent. Should Gedaliah assume that it's definitely true? Oh, why? For all he knows, there's some sort of rivalry between Yochanan and Yishmael. Maybe Yochanan is making up a story. Maybe Yochanan is reshaping the story. Who knows? Gedaliah doesn't know for sure that Yochanan is telling the truth. Gedaliah also doesn't know for sure that Yochanan is lying. Gedaliah doesn't know. If he's being rational, it may or may not be true. The Easter Kabbalah Lashon Hara is what we often do, which is you hear something bad, you assume that's the truth. Make a tasting. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. If maybe it's true, maybe it's not, which is A, rational, Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to not assume that Lashon Hara is true. LMI, it's a suffix. I don't know. So what should I do if I don't know? Yochanan told me that Yishmael is a big Rasha. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. So if it doesn't really matter, move on. So I shouldn't repeat the Lashon Hara. I shouldn't assume for sure it's true. If it doesn't really matter, move on. You have more important things to do with your life than to hack about other people. If it does matter, if there's Toel's Bedava, here it did matter. If it's true, I better defend myself. I better protect myself. If it matters, Mechash me by. I can't assume for sure that's false. I can't assume for sure it's true. I also can't assume for sure it's false. What Gedaliah should have done is be cautious and say, at the very least, I'm not going to have a Yantav Suda with Yishmael and his 10 best friends and no protection. Maybe he even should have accepted Yochanan's offer to take care of Gedaliah, but at the very least, protect yourself. Protect yourself for yourself. Protect yourself for your responsibility towards others. And he didn't. He was massively irresponsible, and for that he bears a part of the culpability for the murder of hundreds and hundreds of people. Gedaliah, who never heard a fly, was obviously that doesn't absolve Yishmael, but Gedaliah also bears some responsibility for all this murder. Why? Because you should have been responsible. So that's another part. There are two stories, two chataim of the Gedaliah story. There's the chait of Yishmael, which is the focus of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and there's the chait of Gedaliah, which is the focus of the Gemara Maseches Nidah. And presumably we're meant to be Masakein both, or at least you have a menu of Tzom Gedaliah themes to focus on. It could be to focus on, today is a good day to focus on Tikkun HaMidos in general, and specifically the Midos of Kina and Kas. The Midos that, with Yishmael, express themselves in the worst way possible, but often express themselves in less severe, but still destructive ways. And number two, there's a sense of thinking about where things are headed, a sense of responsibility, to be careful of Hilchos Lashon Hara, and to have there a sense of responsibility in Roas Hanolo. Lashon Hara in particular, I should not speak ill of other people if I'm not thereby protecting someone, but I do need to be out there protecting someone from people who can do them harm. Saying the Lashon Hara with Tavos, and certainly receiving Lashon Hara, taking it as under advisement, it might be true, I need to be cautious, I need to keep my eyes open. And to be Roas Hanola. To become a person that is more responsible and thinks beyond the here and now. These chatoim led to, as he said, Sidev Lahasein Galusan. It destroyed so much human life. It destroyed any remnants of the Jewish community. Rambam implies maybe Gula could have sprung again. This ember could have relit the fire. And it even destroyed their Emuna. They end up going down to Mitzrayim. They had this cynical take on Yirmiyahu. Even Yochanan, who understood what was going on, even he ends up being impacted. He loses, he doesn't lose his life physically, but he loses his Emuna in the Navi Yirmiyahu. Everyone is impacted. The Koach of Midos. The koach of a carefully balanced approach to Lashon Hara, and the koach of being Roa es Hanola. So these are all aspects of what we can work on over the course of today to be misaking. Today is a good day. Every day is a good day for tshuva. Today is particularly a good day for tshuva because it's the day of Hachanah Yom Kippur, because it's the day of one of the days of Aseres Tshuva, and because it's a Tavis. And particularly to do tshuva in these areas of Tikkun HaMidos, of Hilchos Lashon Hara, and of Achrayas and Roas Hanolad, these are particularly powerful parts of the Avodah for today.